All right, y'all ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Amen, amen. You want to get the door for me, please? Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we come in the name of Jesus, giving you glory and honor and praise and so much thanksgiving, Lord God. Hallelujah. We're so thankful, Lord God, for all that you've said, for all that you've done. Lord God, for all that we have seen this year. Holy Spirit, we do thank you for teaching us, for revealing to us, for helping us. Lord Jesus, we give you all the honor and the glory and the praise because it's because of you that it's all possible. And Lord God, we just thank you for every student. Thank you for their homes. Thank you for their families. Thank you for those that are here in Darrow and those who have viewed by internet, Lord God. We pray your blessings upon them and upon their families, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, that our lives will never be the same because of all that you have revealed unto us. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. It's hard for me to believe that this year, you know, I know people are excited, but this year it just seemed to pass so fast. I can't explain it to y'all. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. The one good thing is it didn't sneak up on me this time. You know, all other years it just would sneak up on me. And it's like, what you mean? This the last class? I thought I had two more. No, at least I kind of paced myself this time, and I looked at the schedule, and so I was aware of what was going on. There are so many things that I want to say to y'all tonight. First of all, I want to thank you. You've been a great class. You know, you've been really, really great. I can truly say I have enjoyed this year. There are times I even had fun. You know, I had to laugh myself. You know, it's like, you know, you always hear apostles say that. You know, I love my job. Oh, I'm just enjoying this. Well, there were times I really enjoyed this. It was just, it's been really, really great. And I thank y'all for being so receptive. I think that's the word, receptive. Now, the key is going to be what you've learned, put it into practice. Don't just let it slip. Don't just let it drop. Okay? As a matter of fact, remind me at the end, there's a scripture that we're going to read. Amen? At the end, don't y'all let me forget. Okay. Now, you know, I always like to tell you important things first so that I won't forget. Everybody wants to know about the exam, right? Okay. Your exam will come predominantly from book 2, chapter 9, obedience. You will have to read the chapter. I will try to give you some PowerPoints, as many PowerPoints as I can tonight. Some of the things we've already gone over. We've gone over a definition of obedience. We looked at Saul and his disobedience and what happened there. And whatever we've done up to this point, you know, just look for some of that. You know, go back, look at the quizzes. Like I said, there was an error that I did correct. Amen. I corrected the error. So your quizzes are a good idea of what's going to probably be on the test. Might be in a different form. You know, if it was true, it might be false. You know, that kind of thing. This is not really a comprehensive exam, but there are going to be some questions about fasting because I think it's so important. There are going to be some questions about faith. Mark 11, 22, 23, 24. You know, I don't know if Mr. Bounds talked about it, but I think it's important, you know, for you to know that as students. And then prayer and trusting God. You know, I'm going to have one or two questions from those. So prayer and trusting God, fasting, and then prayer and faith. And then the majority of the questions will come from our current chapter on obedience, because I think exam 2 was on all of the other things. I think obedience is the only one that we've done since exam 2. Am I right? Okay, yeah, that's what I was thinking. Mr. Bounds doesn't talk a whole lot about Isaiah 1:19. So why don't you go ahead and turn there? I don't even think I saw it. But I think it's too important of a scripture for us as a class not to look at. Isaiah 1 and 19. You know it. You've heard it. And since we're talking about obedience, I mean, we just can't ignore that. Right? Okay. Everybody got it? Online students, Isaiah 1:19. Ready? Let's read. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Remember when we were talking about the definition of obedience and how it had the word submission? And I pointed out that submission and obedience were not the same. Obedience is like your act or your behavior. But submission is a heart thing, right? So in this scripture, that's what he's saying. You know, it's not enough to just be obedient. You got to be willing, you see? And that willingness comes from the heart. Amen? I looked it up. I like the Message a lot of times. I looked it up in the Message. And it says, that's not the part I want to read first. Okay. If you will willingly obey, you'll feast like kings. That's that word, willingly obey. If you willingly obey, you'll feast like kings. But if you're willful, meaning your own will, amen, and stubborn, you'll die like dogs. That's right. God says so. That's what the Message says, amen. So that's how important, you know, obedience is. You know, we want to feast like kings. That's what he says. He says, if you willingly obey, you'll feast like kings. But if you're willful and stubborn, you'll die like dogs. That's right. God says so. Amen? Amen. Amen. Isaiah 1 and 19. You'll see it again. Amen. Now, let me see if I can give you some PowerPoints. I went through my notes and I put some stars by some things. We won't be able to do it all, but I'll give you some PowerPoints. Mr. Bounds explains, he says, thank God it is possible for every child of God to please his Heavenly Father. It is really much easier to please him, meaning God, than it is to please men. Isn't that something? He says, God's commandments, then can be obeyed by all who seek supplies of grace. When you look in Romans 7 and 12, he says, wherefore the law is holy and the commandments holy and just and good. He says, God's commandments then can be obeyed by all who seek supplies of grace. You know, we need grace. We can't do this. We can't keep the commandments of our own. We need grace, God's grace, his favor to help us so that we can be willing and we can be obedient. Those who seek the supplies of grace, it enables them to be able to obey. I had a little note here, and I think we talked about it previously, about omission and commission. You know, that there are sins of omission. God tells you to do something and you don't do it. Amen. And then commission. He tells you not to do something, and you go ahead and you do it anyway. Amen? Sin is sin, whether you omit or whether you commit. Because a lot of times we only think about the things that we do. We never think about, but did I do what he told me to do? You know what I'm saying? So not doing what God is telling you to do is just as bad as doing something he told you not to do. Okay, we got that? Okay, sins of omission, sins of commission. The spirit of rebellion is the very essence of sin. This is what Mr. Bounds says. It is the denial of God's authority that God cannot tolerate. Not only cannot, but he will not tolerate. Amen? You're not going to be able to follow me in your book. Like I said, it's in the chapter, but I'm giving you PowerPoints. I'm just giving you PowerPoints. You're going to just be... Okay. God's commands. He commands. Okay. He gives us an order. He tells us something he wants us to obey. And at the same time, he stands pledge to give us all the necessary strength of will and grace of soul to meet the demands. See, when he tell you to do something, he's not just leaving you out there by yourself. You know, he's giving you everything that you need in order to meet the demand of what he's told you to do. That's where the trust comes in. That's where relying on him comes in. That's where your study and your meditation is going to come. Amen? Amen. Amen. We had looked at over in John 14 and 21, I think the first part of the lesson. He says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Amen. You know, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, saying that you love God is not enough. You got to keep his commandments as a demonstration of your love for him. All right, let's see here. The unrenewed man cannot obey God. The unrenewed man cannot obey God. Remember in Romans 12, verse 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world. Let me read it. And be not conformed, but be you what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So our minds have to be renewed in order for us to be able to obey. You know, we gotta have a change there, a change of our minds. And it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So when Mr. Bounds says the unrenewed man cannot obey God, because, you know, his mind, his mind, think about his soul, has to be renewed. Obedience can ask with boldness at the throne of grace. And that's according to Hebrews 4 and 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Am I going too fast? When you read the chapter, you're going to see it again. Okay. All right. This is obedience. Obedience can ask with boldness at the throne of grace. He says the disobedient folk, they're timid in their approach and hesitant in their supplication. And that's because they're stopped by their wrongdoing. You know, the only thing on their mind is what I did wrong, what I did wrong, or what I didn't do. You know, remember that. What I didn't do or what I did, that's all on your mind. So you can't be bold when you go before God in prayer. The obedient child comes into this is the contrast. The disobedient, they remember, they're timid in their approach and hesitant in their supplication. They're stopped by their wrongdoing. The obedient child, on the other hand, comes into the presence of his father with confidence and boldness. His very consciousness of obedience gives him courage and frees him from the dread born of disobedience. Amen. It's just something about knowing, you know, that you did what God told you to do. Amen. I walk in love. I forgave. It's not of your own you were able to do it. You know, we know that it was his grace and the help of the Holy Ghost that helped you to do it. But just the fact that I was able to do it, you know, you can boldly come before the throne of grace. To do God's will without hesitation is the joy and the privilege of the successful praying man or woman. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, that can be found in Psalms 24 and 4, can pray with confidence. The Christian trade is prayer. That's how we identify it. But he must learn well the trade of perfect obedience to the Father's will. Obedience follows love, and prayer follows obedience. Isn't that good? When you are obedient, your obedient life helps your prayer life. It speeds prayer to the throne. God cannot help hearing the prayer of an obedient child. Think about your own children or your own nieces and nephews, you know, if you don't have children. You know, when they're obedient, it's just something about it. You know, you just like want to do something for them, right? Okay, Mr. Bounds says, it speeds prayer to the throne. God cannot help hearing the prayer of an obedient child. It acts like the flowing tides of many rivers. It gives volume and fullness of flow, as well as power to the prayer closet. Okay? When you're obedient. If you have an earnest desire to pray well, you must learn to obey well. If you have a desire to learn to pray, then you must have an earnest desire to learn how to do God's will. See, these things are going together. If you desire to pray to God, you must first have a consuming desire to obey him. If you want to have free access to God, this is what Mr. Bounds is saying. If you want to have free access to God in prayer, then every obstacle in the nature of sin or disobedience must be removed with the help of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Can't do it on your own. Obedient men have always been closest to God. Obedience to God counts tremendously in the realm of prayer. Luke 6:46, Jesus says, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Amen? You know, if I'm your Lord, then do what it is that I'm telling you to do. Do what I say. Amen. He who prays must obey. Prayer puts in those who sincerely pray a spirit of obedience. That's what praying does. Amen. The spirit of disobedience is not of God and does not belong to God's praying people. Amen. The absence of an obedient life makes prayer an empty performance. God's royal intercessors come before him with royal lives. Holy living promotes holy praying. God's intercessors are symbols of righteous, obedient lives. Amen? Amen, amen. Those are the PowerPoints that I picked out. It was a whole lot more. Mr. Bounds says about prayer and obedience. And again, you're responsible for reading the chapter. And if you read the chapter, then you'll be okay. Amen? Amen. All right. What I wanted to do, remember last week, and this is just going to be in passing, I think it's going to be real, real good for you. You know, as especially second-year students, as y'all are preparing to leave, this is something that, you know, that I experienced, that I thought about it after class last week, and I said, you know, I think it's going to be good to share with them. Remember how we were praying for divine protection? Okay. One of the things that I've found, you know, we don't really know everybody's whole story. You know, you see people, but you don't know the real person. All you know is what you see. I come from a very large family. My grandparents had 8 children, bunches of grandchildren, okay? But one of the things that happened in our family that as I got older that I noticed was there was a lot of premature death in our family, a lot. Age 17, 22, 25. My brother was 27, a cousin was 28, my nephew was 32, another brother was 40-something, and my sister was 51. And you know, you stand back and you look at that, and you try to, you know, something's wrong, you know, and you're trying to figure it out. And one day I was just, you know, reading and praying Psalm 91, and I got to the 16th verse, and it says, "With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." Now, I have read this probably hundreds of times, but just, and that's the way God works. Just that day, it just jumped out at me. And I said to myself, and I don't know if I said it out loud, but I remember saying, "Oh my God, we've been robbed." Just like that, you know, we've been robbed. And then I began to hear, "Call the police." Because in the natural, that's what happened. When you've been robbed, what do? You call the police. And then that still small voice that I've been telling y'all about, I heard that still small voice say, "You the police." Amen. So that's what I'm saying to y'all tonight. You the police. You know, you don't need to call nobody. We know from John 10 and 10, the thief cometh not, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Anytime there's any stealing, killing, or destroying in your life, lives of your loved ones, it is the enemy. He may not be doing it directly, but he is behind it. Okay? So instead of calling anybody, you are the police. You have been given by God Almighty the right to arrest him. Amen. Amen? You understand? Go to the Bible. The Bible says, whatever you bind, that's the arresting, on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And do you know, as I was thinking about this, the Holy Spirit just began to just reveal and just to show me. He says, don't stop at arresting him. He says, once he's arrested, he has to go to court. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. It does not stop just with putting him in jail. You gotta take him to court. And we have learned, Apostle said it tonight, right? The courtroom of heaven. And we have those intercessors who are going to help us. Amen. And we can obtain decisions, judgments, and verdicts. Amen. And then when we get the verdict, because that's what I did. I didn't even realize that's what I did. I mean, you know, once I realized that all this was going on in my family, I want y'all to know, sincerely, I prayed to get 30 years old. I prayed. I was the happiest woman in the world when I got to be 30, because I thought that was it, man. I'm safe now. You know, I made it out of my 20s. But now I can go and I can plead the blood of Jesus over my entire family. Amen. And when any kind of attack come, I know it's the enemy. I can bind him. I mean, you know, as much as I can, you know, but at least somebody in the family doing something. You know, before nobody knew. Nobody knew what to do. We were all just standing there just looking and seeing this happen. I said, oh, I got you now. I got you now. You find a thief out, and then you have a right to demand restoration. Amen. Restoration. So just as y'all are beginning to prepare to go on out, second year students, you are the police. Remember? Just remember that. You're the police. You don't have to call nobody. You don't have to call no prayer partner. You can. You don't have to. Amen. You arrest him. You know, that's what Apostle is teaching us. He's teaching us. He says, you know, you can do this. You can do it. He says, I'm raising up mature Christians, you know, who are going to know how to stand for themselves. Amen. And so that's what I want you to do. You know, and I thought, I said, oh, yeah, I got to share it. I got to share it with them. You know, I mean, you the police. Just remember, that's the main thing. You the police. Arrest him. But don't just arrest him. Take him to court. Take him to court. Get your verdict. Get your verdict. Amen. And then when you get your verdict and your judgment, Mr. Who is that, Henderson? In the book, The Courts of Heaven. You know, he says you got to have, once you get your judgment, in fact, I got any legal people in here, there ain't legal people online. Once you get your judgment, there has to be somebody to enforce the judgment. You know, like he gives the example of the man, I think he was given joint custody, and the wife wouldn't let him have the children. And so he took it to the police, and the police say, well, it's nothing we can do because we have not been given authority to enforce that. Amen? We have enforcers. We have enforcers. The name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, our enforcers. You know, they're there to uphold everything that Jesus died for us. And all we have to do is go to them with our judgment. Once you get your judgment, go with your judgment. Amen. And the Holy Spirit will help to enforce that. Amen. That was good, huh? All right. Don't y'all forget that. Don't y'all forget it. All right. We're going to finish early, too. The verse that I want y'all to turn to John chapter 14. I always like to send especially second year students off with this. It'll help first year students also. Look, I have my pen already marked. Y'all got it. John 14, verse 26. Online students, John 14, 26. Ready? Let's read. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Amen. So all things will be brought to your remembrance that's been taught to you once you leave. First year students, as you prepare to take your exams, ask the Holy Ghost to help you to bring all things to your remembrance that has been taught to you. Amen. Amen. Any questions at all? No questions? Praise the Lord. Y'all enjoy your Resurrection Sunday. And first year students, have a good break. And hopefully I will see y'all next year. Y'all be blessed.